In the attempt to close the gap between the clock and the compass, many of us turn to the field of time management. Next, Roger Merrill, co-author of First Things First, will discuss the three generations of time management.
We generally find that most people relate to what could be called the three generations of time management. Each generation builds on the one before and moves toward greater efficiency and control. The first generation could be symbolized by reminders. The idea is you go with the flow, but try to keep track of things you want to do with your time. This generation is characterized by simple notes and checklists. If you're in this generation, you carry these lists with you and refer to them so you don't forget to do things. Hopefully, at the end of the day, you've accomplished many of the things you set out to do and you check them off your list. If those tasks are not accomplished, you put them on your list for tomorrow. Really, this is where most people are. The second generation is characterized by calendars and appointment books. It's based on efficiency, personal responsibility, and achievement and goal setting. Planning ahead and scheduling future events and activities is kind of typical. If you tend to be in this generation, you make appointments, write down commitments, identify deadlines, and note where meetings will be held. You may keep this in some kind of computer or network. This is where most people in the professional and the business world are. Those worlds just require a little more organized, efficient approach. The third generation approach is symbolized by a planning or organizing system. If you're in this generation, you've probably spent some time clarifying your values and priorities. You've asked yourself, what do I want? You've set long and short-term and medium-range goals to obtain these values, and you prioritize your activities on a daily basis. This generation is characterized by a wide variety of planners and organizers, electronic as well as paper-based, with detailed forms for daily planning. Now let's take a closer look at the strengths and weaknesses of each of these generations and see specifically how they help and why they really fail to meet a deeper need. People in the first generation tend to be flexible. They're able to adapt, to change, to respond to people's changing needs and those of the organization or the marketplace. They're good at adapting and working things out, and this is a significant strength. But often things tend to fall through the cracks. Appointments are forgotten. And without a real positive sense of vision and purpose and where you're going, life tends to repeat itself. We just keep doing the same things day in and day out and can be very fatiguing. People in the second generation, they plan and prepare. They're generally feeling a higher level of personal responsibility, particularly to commitments and results. The calendars not only serve as a reminder, but they realize they've got to be prepared to be more effective at events, presentations, meetings, even sometimes in their personal life, to be prepared for a trip or vacation. The weakness is that you get so focused on the organization efficiency that the schedule becomes enthroned and almost comes ahead of the relationships and the events and the people. People in the second generation usually value other people and relationships, but when you're always trying to focus on the schedule, sometimes people inadvertently become the enemy. They're someone who's going to interrupt you, get you off your schedule. People that become someone to delegate to, someone to help you with your objectives. They're just almost another resource, a work unit, instead of a real person. First things for people in the second generation are a function of calendar and goals. The third generation makes a major contribution by tying goals and plans to values. People in this generation achieve sizable gains in their personal productivity through focused daily planning and prioritization. First things become a function of values and goals. The results of this generation really seem promising. In fact, for many people, it's the zenith of time management. It's kind of the epitome. This third generation helps us tap into the power of long and medium and short-term goals. It helps us to translate values into goals and actions. It increases personal productivity because we have daily planning and prioritization. It enables us to increase efficiency and gives kind of a structure and order to life. It also strengthens the skill of managing time and self. But with all these pluses, there are some tremendous weaknesses in this generation as well. It can lead us to believe that we're in control instead of natural laws or principles. And that can lead to a real arrogance, to an idea of becoming almost a law unto ourselves, rather than trying to live according to principles and experience the consequence of those principles. We're trying to manage consequences. It doesn't work. Values clarification does not necessarily align us with principles, the true north principles that actually govern in our lives. In some ways, these three generations of time management have brought us a long way toward increased effectiveness in our lives. Such things as efficiency, planning, prioritization, values clarification, and goal setting have made a significant positive difference. But, bottom line, for most people, the gap remains between what is deeply important and the way they spend their time. Faster is not necessarily better. It becomes obvious that if we want to make relatively minor changes in our lives, we can perhaps appropriately focus on our attitudes and our behaviors. But if we want to make significant quantum changes, we need to work on the basic paradigms. Now, paradigm is a way we see the world, not in terms just of our visual sense of sight, but in terms of perceiving, understanding, and interpreting. A simple but effective way to understand a paradigm is to see them as maps. We all know that a map is not the territory. A map is simply an explanation or representation of certain aspects of the territory. Now, that's exactly what a paradigm is. It's the way we perceive things. Now, the way we see or our paradigm leads to what we do, and what we do leads to the results we get in our lives. Our paradigms, whether correct or incorrect, are the sources of our attitudes and behaviors and ultimately our relationships with others. Changing to some new kind of planning tool, some new software program, adding some technique, it's not going to change the paradigms that we have and the way we see life and people and relationships. Although there's a lot of implied promise in these planning tools and with the idea of increasing efficiency, everything's going to get better. But it's just not reality. Change comes at much deeper levels than just change some technique. In consulting with a large corporation several years ago, I had the opportunity to work and become friends with a psychologist. I often heard him tell the story of how he and his professional peers would work with rats in mazes. They put the rat at one end of the maze and a piece of food at the other end and watched the rat as he bumped around until he eventually found the food. The next time they put him in, he bumped a little less and got to the food a little faster. Then eventually, he'd put the rat in, go right to the food. Then they took the food away. For a little while, each time he was put in, the rat kept making a beeline for the end of the maze. But it wasn't too long before he figured out the food wasn't going to be there, so he stopped going. That's the difference between rats and people, my friend would say. The rats stop. Well, one thing's for sure, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we're getting. One definition of insanity is to keep doing the same things and expect a different result. If time management were the answer, surely the sheer abundance of good ideas would have made a big difference by now. Time management, especially the third generation, sounds good. It gives the promise of achievement, a sense of hope, but it doesn't deliver. And for many people, the pinnacle third generation approach feels rigid, structured, and unnatural. The first thing many do when they get ready to go on vacation is leave their planners at home. Clearly, there's a need for a fourth generation, one that really builds on some of the strengths of the first three, but moves beyond and eliminates the weaknesses, fills in where something's missing. Now, this requires a paradigm and an approach that is not different by degree. It's not a problem with methods. It requires a fundamental change in thinking and in doing.